And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 352 with Mr. Popperoni News, actually. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
Going great. Really cool to be here. Haven't been on a podcast before, and I thought it was really cool. I saw you cover a bunch of stuff that like I like, whether it be like video games, you're talking about stuff like comics, just all that, just like the little drip feeds of the commentary of the nature of culture. It just seemed really interesting.
All right. I was going through YouTube, and I don't know, maybe the algorithm just like showed me your channel, and I was like, this guy's thumbnail is kind of cool. Let's see what he's covering. And he's covering all the spicy stuff, actually. And you know, it's really interesting. A lot of people forgot, because like it was on your For You section, because you know that's kind of random to show people like optimized like content that the viewer potentially might like. It was one of the videos you did talking about the CNN streaming service that Warner Brothers tried doing that failed miserably. Remember that one back in like 2021? Guys, I shit you not, they tried to do a CNN streaming service and it failed in 2 days.
Understandably so. It makes me think of the fact of like how many people from CNN, as realistically I would call them, it's like they're just regime shills, and you can think of people akin to like Brian Stelter. And I mean, they even had the names of like Tucker Carlson under their banner in the previous age, which is so funny because you can see the nature of how far it's fallen when you look at their viewership in correlation with something like Fox News. And you look at the fact of Tucker going independent, garnering over 480 million views with just his Javier Milei interview alone, breaking records, Vladimir Putin's interview hitting over 200 million viewers. And you see CNN and just falling by the wayside, as deservedly so. These regime outlets just falling the way of the dinosaur, as they most certainly should.
Like, it was so cringe to see like all the meltdown that happened with when he interviewed Vladimir Putin. Just so disgusting. Like, oh my goodness, are we just not allowed to talk to people that may or may not agree with us on things? That's how it has to work now. You got to talk to all the freaking echo chamber people that might like you. It's like, no, that's not how life, it's not how things in life get solved. Like, I don't know, what is this? Like, people say, well, we should probably talk to people who disagree with us because we can get their perspective. Talk to the person you disagree with. Oh my god, you're a traitor. You betrayed me. Fucking hell, dude. Like, what is life anymore? What planet? This is legit bizarro world. This, like, we're not living in Earth One. This is bizarro world. Everything is just backwards at this point. Everything don't make no sense. People will like say something that it kind of sounds, I guess, in theory, cool to say, because it just sounds cool to say. But when the actual action comes through, they're like, nope, can't have it anymore. Nope, fuck it. Done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this huge thing that's especially happened now that something like politics has entered culture specifically. And I mean, Breitbart said that politics is downstream from culture, but one thing is it's a reciprocal force, very much like anything. There's always going to be a nature of how there's an ebb and flow, and with it a yin and yang, to the fact that there's always going to be something that has a positive or negative correlation. And in the process of doing so, there's always going to be downstream effects, whether we see them or not. And with that, you can always see the inculcation of, let's say, politics overtaking culture, specifically being the thing that activates so many people, making them so detached from the nature of, let's say, just having the ability to have that conversation with someone they disagree with, because openly people are just coming out and now saying, well, what's that? You're going out and you're talking about what's happening in Ukraine. It's like, you're not just addressing the fact that Ukraine is right and Vladimir Putin's a war criminal, which he most certainly is, of course. I mean, we're talking about people who are the heads of state and governments. These people are obviously all just oligarchic gangsters, realistically playing with people's lives on marionette strings. But nonetheless, you go there and you're like, all right, what's the historical context that brings the relevance to someone's understanding of the current system that they're under and why they have the standards that they're pushing forward? And why is it that they believe the things they believe? Maybe they're wrong. So be it. They could be wrong about quite literally absolutely everything, and it doesn't matter. And here's why. One, yes, they're wrong. That's so be it. We can address that. But the nature of why they believe what they believe has some form of grounding, and through understanding that and only through building that bridge with the olive branch that politics entering the cultural zeitgeist has only lit a flame, you have no capacity to build that amicable end through conversation. And that's something that people like Tucker Carlson are doing in mass, and it's just so well done.
So I had the same similar thought process with that too. I told people, even if we think differently, I would just like to understand how you came to your conclusions, right? It feels like person is trying to go to someone and trying to legit not have a conversation. They won't have a conversation the way that is trying to basically get you to convey to their side and believe what they believe. It's like they're just trying to basically convert you to their viewpoint instead of just understanding how someone would come to their conclusions, you know? Because people don't understand. People grow up differently in life. People have various different events that happen that they see, or they have all these different things that happen to them in their life that make them come to their conclusions, whether they're good or bad. That's why you talk to people. That's how you get to that understanding of a conversation. I just don't get how people go, well, this person's wrong because they do all these things. Do you know what made them come to that conclusion? No. Then that's how we would talk to them. That's why you would do that, because you would understand where the fuck they're coming from. You know, absolutely. I can't possibly understand where he comes from with his viewpoints at all. I've never lived in Russia. Don't know what people did to Russia. It's how life functions with people. They don't even understand this, man. The news only tells you what they want you to see. There could be situations throughout history where basically the corporate media news, people call them now, have showed you only one side of the story, but they don't show you the other side. Remember the old saying, you got older? You know, what's the saying with two sides? Hear both sides out. There's always two sides to every story. It's always two sides. We've only ever heard one side of the story that they've only told you, showed you. You know what, you find it weird that in public schools they didn't tell you that black people had slaves? Pretty valuable context to have let out there. You know, I grew up and I was like, wait a minute, black people had slaves too? I legit didn't know that. I had to legit look into history of certain things.
I didn't either.
Me neither. They didn't tell you.
And I'm a history guy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. That's very valuable context you just have left out. So a bunch of people now think, oh, well, black people just had no slaves and they were just victims and white people just took over them and enslaved them. It's like, that's just not how that happened, like, at all. They just straight up lied to you. And it's so much infested of a lie at this point where everyone just believes it, or a good amount of people believe it, right? That's the problem with leaving out valuable context. People lying to people, only telling you what information they want you to see. That's what causes problems, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because like you were talking about the fact of like you're just having these ideas consistently presented to you, and with it, many of the times, and this is something I've noticed, and like being someone mm-hmm. who's just like on the landscape of talking about the more spicy end of the nature of the political talk. But the thing that I always find so fascinating is how easy it is to walk yourself off the plank into damnation by, I would say, allowing yourself to fall to the predation of that system that is undoubtedly attempting to make you succumb to the standards that it wants you to submit to, specifically only for the fact of getting you to do as it deems. And with this comes with the fact of, like, you were talking about before, about how people don't like have their own ideas effectively because this stuff is just being presented to them. And I think the media plays a huge role in this. So does like the construction of like the education system, going way back to, like, I'm talking like the creation with Horace Mann, and looking like the original founding of the American education system around the idea of like the Prussian model, which are both the geographical and like ethical precursors to the Nazis. And like they constructed this ideal for how people would go into an educational system, and then going into that educational system, they realized, well, the thing is, so many of these people were putting on the front lines in these conflicts. What happens is they end up going out and doing these silly things because we haven't conditioned them and brainwashed them into being subservient to the state. They just, you know, do these ridiculous things, like go off and piss themselves and die and run off and get blown away, and they have no capacity to fight or defend themselves or their country. And this is where the idea of coming in with the model of factory education that we have now, with consistent subservience to, well, nothing more than repetition, and repetition being a correlating factor when it comes to the nature of hypnotism. And then you tie this with the understanding of how the media operates, and it all just paints the image so perfectly for you that these people don't want you actually thinking for yourself.
Like, I know how people do this, and it's just so deceptive, because good Lord, the media will prop up like so much garbage. And if you just simple Google searches, I know Google's been trash themselves, but if you just do simple searches and you go into like, because how people don't know this, man, I'm pretty sure you do. You know, Google optimizes their searches, right?
Oh, they yeah, only, dude.
And you know
oh,
how that yeah. works. Yeah. So like, if anyone doesn't know, let's say yesterday, Charles Barkley said, if there is a Trump person out there, a black person wearing a Trump mug shirt, he's going to punch him in the face. Okay. So then, if you guys don't know, there's always a bunch of like, so like that'll be the main story, and Google will have it on the front page. But then there are a lot of people that will be in that type of sphere that they'll try to make a bunch of other stories to push down that main article to the bottom of the search page. Because let's be honest, there, people only really look at the first two search engines for a Google search for the most part, right? The first like three or four. No one really goes to pages 2, 3, 4 to find the other information. They're only going from what's going to see what's in front of them. You'll see that yesterday. Charles Barkley said he's going to do that. Main story there? Push down. Oh, he didn't really mean that. He's actually in the right if you really look at it. Oh, fucking hell. Fucking hell. If that was any other person, white, Asian, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Latin American, that story would have stayed at the front page, and that person would have been getting torched by people. That's just how bad. Like, they just have reason with the whole Google Gemini thing. That was terrible. The most powerful search engine in the world is dedicated to screwing up very valuable information. we can't even trust Google. That's terrible. We can't even trust what we're even seeing with our own eyes anymore because they're just dedicated to altering history.
Yeah, undoubtedly. What that reminds me of, it brings me back to like most recently, there was an interview that happened with Tucker Carlson. I wouldn't say most recently, it was like roughly a week or two ago with Mike Benz. And he's someone who understands the nature of the institutions akin to that of Google and their correlation with the intelligence operations that have effectively been, well, curtailing the spectrum of allowable opinion as many people are operating within it. And because of this fact, you can see that for a long time, this is actually why the idea of freedom of speech was pushed so heavily, because it's so valuable, right? Because it's a defending standard for the ideals of democracy and how important it is that we stand for something ever so noble. And then what you realize is when you start to understand the reason these things were pushed is because it's actually a tool of statecraft. Overseas, so they could use the ideals of freedom of speech to do what? Institute coups and overthrow an established regime. And in doing so, create more Western allies and with it pro-regime or pro-Western regimes that were effectively nothing more than mouthpieces for that of what you would call the liberal world empire, effectively, that's operating under the standards of realistically just what the military-industrial complex demands at every single avenue, depending on whatever war they feel like pushing. And you can just tie this back to like General Wesley Clark talking about the idea of creating wars in 7 countries in 5 years when he was talking to someone within the Pentagon. And it was just unbelievable because every single person within the studio, or it's this massive audience, and he's talking about these things. And when he does so, the entire audience, he's talking about the fact of, well, you see 7 countries in 5 years, and we'll be starting off with Libya and then finishing off with Iran. And what we see is this was in roughly like 2005 when this clip came out. So the thing that I find so insane about it specifically is just that the entire crowd laughs. And what we can see is with the standards being pushed now and like the media landscape, well, it's very apparent that all they did was fuck up their timescale. And now they're dropping the ball once again. And with it, trying to foam at war with Iran, people like Lindsey Graham coming out and talking about the most ridiculous aspects of, we need to glass Tehran. We need to bomb Iranian oil refineries, even though there are quite literally Iranian men and women who are working in places like this, you know, people who are civilians that have no correlation with anything to do with the government. They hate their government just as we hate ours. And with that, people like that within Washington, D.C. and the ilk that, let's say, espouse the mindset of the neoconservative war hawk era, they're perfectly okay with sitting there and being like, yeah, what we should do is glass this Iranian oil refinery in a preemptive strike. And that mindset is exactly what gets pushed endlessly through the media, like you were talking about, with people just sitting there having thoughts presented to them that aren't even their own. And then all of a sudden, they're in support of every single forever war imaginable.
Happens every time, man. You'll see like, freaking heck, like they'll have an audience when like Vivek Ramaswamy is talking. The audience is like, wait a minute, all this is happening? You can tell people in the audience are like, wait a minute, we're just like getting lied to. And the interviewer, I forgot, it was a black lady who was hosting the show at the time, where he was talking about like, January 6th invasion, all that. So he's like, this is what really happened. And every moment she kept trying to stop him because she didn't want him unveiling the truth about what happened with a lot of this stuff. Because a lot of people, let's be honest, man, a lot of people are just politically neutral. They just don't give a fuck sometimes for the most part. They're just kind of like, yeah, but that's the thing. They want you to be political neutral. I've always kind of, I had this mindset back in the day, it was so cringe. Like, I don't care about this stuff. It just doesn't matter to me. What was so bad about that mindset that I look back on now is they want you like that. They want you not caring. Because if you care and you start questioning, that's a problem. They want you to be like, exactly, not care. They want you to be on Twitter every day typing about how depressed you are about why your girlfriend goes and fucks other dudes and why you got to sit there and watch. You know, they want you to just be depressed, go to fucking therapy, tell your therapist some bullshit. They don't even give a fuck about you. But
hey, my wife's boyfriend bought me a new chair. Oh my God. Yeah, you're so right about that. It's like, and I think that goes corollary with like the idea of the degradation of family, which gets consistently pushed. And a perfect example of this is like, I don't like to bring up like the whole Marxism angle, because like, one, it's absolutely true in its own light. But the thing that I find so endlessly fascinating about that specifically is the fact that they co-opted what should have been something that was a noble ideal. You know, the idea of accountability for killer cops, just people who are abusing authority and with it causing the death of innocent people or the suffering of those. And then in getting by all of that persecution that they would then fall under the law because they have things like qualified immunity, so they don't have to deal with that. And what we see is that institutions that could have done something really noble, stood for something that was incredibly important, like Black Lives Matter specifically. Let's legitimately use that example, completely detached from the nature of how the political rumblings have completely distorted the nature of what should be something where we're talking about just people dying. This should not be something political in any way. And what do? They implement one of the core tenets on their website before they, of course, had to remove it because everyone had so much backlash about it, was the destruction of the nuclear family. That's utterly insane. And then you see the standards being pushed by so many within the media. You see the fear mongering about the idea of population control, global warming. You'll never be able to take care of your family. Don't you worry about this. We can just go ahead and have you be subservient to what? The welfare state. Don't you worry. Daddy government will always be here to take care of you. And with that, all it does is make you feel safe and pacified, and you don't have to worry about anything. Because don't you realize that you can look to the front of the stage and see Dr. Anthony Fauci sitting there telling you that he is the science, because that's all you have to listen to is the experts, because God knows we just need to trust the experts some more.
Even recently, you're talking about with Tucker Carlson, he had the interview with Alex Jones, which I thought was really, really good. Like, that was a great interview he had. Like, even if half the stuff he says may never or not come true, even you give or take how much is going to be applicable in the future, which is interesting, is the thing that he talked about, which was the whole bug thing. People just forgot this. This happened literally, I think, last year in like October, November, before the year was over. There was an article that came out where this fucking guy talking about world hunger, some bullshit, talking about we're going to be potentially eating bugs in like by 2020, 30 or whatever. It's like, huh?
Yep, 2030.
We're doing like, what? We're, huh? This, and then he mentioned all these things that were happening with like a lot of these elite government people, where I guess the idea is like they think we're like defective or we're like outdated, and they think we overpopulate. And that's the thing. People have factor in. If you want to stop overpopulation, you can't stop people from having sex. What you can do is convince weak men to cut off their dicks. Can't populate then.
Come up real. With yeah, it's a that's so true. And it's not only just that. It's like you can also think about the idea of like lowering sperm rate specifically, and you can think about this through like chemical induction. It's kind of wild that the boomers are filled with fucking lead, and then our generation is filled with microplastics, and then the next generation is going to be filled with nanoparticles from Elon Musk's brain chips. It's truly just a sliding scale of insanity. And then on top of that, we're all just being infested with things like seed oils. I actually ended up like making a video about the evolution of the narrative of eating bugs, and it starts off with talking about how important it is to focus on the idea of what other cultures do, and then it goes on to talk about how it's important to shift your standards of what you can eat and realize that you're not better than anyone else. And then it goes on to talking about, well, you have to realize that kids love bugs, so why don't you? And then all of a sudden, there's a random switch because the internet starts to pick up on what's being drip-fed, all of which are being pushed out by NPR. I literally have it on a time scale. I don't remember what exactly the video is called, but you can go find it. It's on my channel. And I'm talking specifically and just laying it out. I'm like, look at the evolution of this narrative. It goes from it's not happening. Okay, it's happening. Okay, it's happening. It's a good thing. You have to realize it's a good thing. And if you defy it, you're the bad person. And with it, we will malign you and act like you are the enemy of current proper society. And the thing that's so stunning about that specifically is because when you go out and you actually ask questions about stuff like this, you know, just the simplest of things like what's in your food, it's like, well, why are you asking? Why do you care? It's like, I don't know. It's like, I remember the whole moniker of, well, my body is a temple. And in my mind, I don't want to be consuming bugs. If someone wants to go out and do that, sure, go ahead. They can submit to the standards of Klaus Schwab. You can eat the bugs and live in the pod, or you can eat the steak and live on the farm. And I certainly know which one I desire.
Yeah, I just don't get how people could like see all that and go, man, life's going pretty good right now. It's like, no, these people want to really like actually fuck to destroy everything you've ever built. Like, I don't know what is the point of it. I don't know. Maybe it's because some people have so much money, they just don't care anymore. They're just like torturing people. I mean, they did convince the entire world to sit in their houses for what, a year? Just to stay in. Yeah. Fucking crazy, dude. Like,
what it reminds me of specifically, right? So there's a clip going around of Bill Maher, and there's always a clip going around of Bill Maher being completely
he's always
from reality.
He's been attacked for us,
Yeah, it's so funny, though, because he just – every single time Bill Maher steps himself into the landscape, it's just like what happens with Piers Morgan. He's wrong when it matters, and then every single time after the fact, he'll just sit there and, you know, give you a little drip feed of information to the fact that, well, actually, I knew this all along, and realistically, I'm right, and because of this fact, I'm actually morally just in all of the actions I take. It doesn't matter if I malign you and beat you. I understand you don't like being beat with a stick, and I understand that people don't like being beat with a stick, even if it's called the people's stick, but realistically, I'm moral and just in my actions, so you have to listen to me, even though all I do is sit there and not think for myself and parrot the establishment standards consistently disseminated to me. But no, don't you worry. I promise you, I'm here to tell you it's all okay. And that's exactly what happens every single time when I see these people just walk themselves out akin to Piers Morgan talking about things like whether it be, I don't know, Ukraine, COVID, the idea of what's going on with like this rampant escalation and like the story of transgenderism, and then like the desistance rate of how many people are falling off of this because the social faux pas of it has been dying down. And with that fact, because people are no longer getting, let's say, the consistent bona fides and positive feedback loop that so many people that are caught in like the spirals of depression that end up falling into this because they find a tribe, they find a kin, they find people that they can align themselves with because you're getting nothing more than positive affirmation. And many of the times in doing so, all you do is have one, that positive feedback loop, but in doing so, you have no ability to understand recourse for your actions because there is no one that's presenting any framework for you. And with this fact of no framework and no fences, you realize that you will undoubtedly, and many of the times we see this, people trot beyond the borders of where they knew was once safe, and then they end up in utter damnation. And this happens in so many different aspects. We saw this throughout the COVID era with what was going on with the forced medical mandates and all of this nonsense, which is absolutely safe and effective. Of course, every single person knows that. No one needs to worry about that. It's the safest thing that's ever been created by man, but nonetheless, I digress.
True. What do you think about this whole trans thing? You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, so I mean, like, personally, I don't really care if like someone is trans. That's not an issue to me. It's a zero sum factor. I don't understand it. I'll never live it. I'll never sleep with a trans person. If you try and sit there and tell me it's like, oh, well, you're transphobic because you have preference. Like, yeah, fuck you. I don't care. I'm not transphobic. I just prefer women. Big deal. Coat. Suck it. I don't give a fuck. But the thing that I find so amazing about this is like, you can see the evolutionary scale of how this has evolved through algorithmic manipulation specifically. Mm-hmm. And this is the one thing that really highlights this for me. So like, you can also take this back to like the idea of Nexus charts around the times of Occupy Wall Street. Looking at these charts, you can see the escalation of what? Things like white supremacy, white privilege, and all of these different racialized terms. And with it, these things that could completely divide what? A left and right populist movement that is correlated, that being the left wingers of Occupy Wall Street and the right wingers of the Tea Party movement, coalescing to say, no, we understand that it's you versus us. It's not just the 99% versus the 1%. It's the 99.9% versus the 0.1%. It's the people who own banks versus the people who do not own the banks. And with this understanding came the fact of, what do we do? Well, there's nothing we can realistically present forward to these people so we can actually break this. This is something that seems undefeatable. How about we introduce identity politics? And that is when you saw this be launched into the zeitgeist throughout the media. And you can go ahead and see the same thing happen with COVID. You can see the repetition of the standards of four-hour democracy. You can also see this with the standards of them saying free speech, as I was talking about how it was so important for the idea of statecraft specifically. With it being so important for that, because they once again met the standards that they deemed necessary, they then abandoned this because once people started within the domestic populace to use it as a standard to stand up against the state as they started to encroach ever further, well, you have to understand that that's a threat to our democracy, your free speech. Because when we talk about things like our democracy, all we realistically mean is our hegemony and our ability to manipulate the reins of power. And that's just what we see in government all the time.
Like, you even have people like Dr. Phil coming out and being like, hey, this is just wrong here. Even though he's someone who's had all those people on his shows consistently. He's someone who's, you know, somewhat never really went as far to say the right thing because, you know, the money was coming from the television network he was a part of that hosted his show. I mean, this is a television network where Matt Walsh is on there debating one of these weirdos. And they conveniently
was wild.
Removed the network, literally removed that part of the show where he destroyed those two guys because it claimed in the Daily Wire documentary was a woman. It fucking hell. They said they removed it because it offended people.
Oh no! My God, how soft have we become? I used to get bullied so hard on MW2 and Halo 3 because I was just a shitter as a child that couldn't aim. And then because of this, I was getting called racial slurs, a young, small, white child, very apparently so by my squeaky voice. And I'm getting called insults and racial slurs that I had to fucking look up to understand how hard I was getting fucking bombed by these people. And it's just absolutely insane that now we live in this current day and age where it's like, well, don't you understand? It's important that we make sure we're careful with our words. And then people just come out and word police you for saying the most inane things, which is just the most ridiculous part of all of it, in my opinion. But realistically, that also comes with like the idea of totalitarian encroachment. And just on the idea of the transgenderism thing, when I was talking about, and not Bill Maher specifically, but Dr. Phil is a great example of this. And Bill Maher never really challenges this the way Dr. Phil actually has the capacity to, you know, because he has a thinking brain and with it, he's actually quite intelligent and successful for a reason. So the thing that I love about this specifically with people like Dr. Phil coming into this landscape and having these conversations. I don't know if you saw this clip recently, but he was presenting these information to the people on The View, which The View is realistically just, it's called that for a reason. It's not called The Views. That's a joke from Kurt Metzger. It's not mine. I'm not funny enough to think of something like that. But he's talking about the fact that, yeah, every single person on here is just a standard boilerplate individual. And by individual, I mean NPC, who is literally doing nothing more than repeating the talking points on their talking card that they're reading off, just like Joe Biden before he turns into a Roomba and fumbles off the stage. Yeah. And like I was talking about the idea of these people being presented with new information. Well, the information they get presented with is something like on the statistics around transgenderism. And what would that be? It's the fact of the exponential rate of people inculcating into this idea, and then also the desistance rate. And I think this is purely driven by things like this. One, there is something called autogynephilia, and that is one type of transgenderism. There is autogynephiles, which are people who are specifically attracted to the opposite sex. And then I'm forgetting the other one specifically in the name, because like I haven't done any reading on this in a while. I haven't really thought about it. So there are three types. There's men who are attracted to the idea of being women and then getting sexual arousal from this. There are women who are attracted to the sexual the idea of sexual arousal from being looked at as a man. There are people who are actually gender dysphoric. And then there are those who have been inculcated through algorithmic manipulation because they've been so terminally online. And because of this, it's imbibed them in an ideal in a way that I would say many of the times are not even their own thoughts.
Because that clip you were talking about, I remember I watched that one and it looked like they just seeing their eyes go like, man, he just figured us out. So it's all people understand how those two TV productions go. The guests literally all talk, they vet each other. All this stuff is a standard practice that these shows hopefully still do these days. And he just went on stage and went, you know, fuck that. I'm just exposing all you guys. The fact that shows like that still get viewed and watched by people just goes to show you just how just sad entertainment is. That show reminds me of The View, because I put that on CBS. Fox had a similar one. It was the one with the girl from the Cheetah Girls, I think. I forgot. I'm pretty sure that was not around anymore. But what's with all these like women shows where it's just four women, four old, ugly, disgusting women talking about bullshit they probably never experienced. These are like these white liberal women who have like lives that will never reflect what they're talking about. It's like, okay, I'm not saying you like have to live that life to you know, talk about it from really like a casual point of view. But if you're trying to tell... If you're talking about like black problems, and you're like a white older lady in a suburb, like a big area where you have no problems at all in your area, it's kind of hard to tell black people what they should be doing better. You know, it's a little stupid. Yeah,
it's people living in the richest suburbs in all of the United States sitting there as they wag their finger at you, moralizing from their ego, and with that, the fucking high horse that they have rode upon to that tower that they sit there and wave from you as they tell you how great they are, which is the height of their ego. When reality comes crumbling upon them, and it most certainly will, because what we're in now is a cultural shift, and it's very apparent to anyone that has their eyes even open and their ears shut. But the thing that's so wild about this is these people that are riding on that high horse, well, when that tower crashes and they come falling from their ego to their IQ, it will be nothing more than a death blow, and it will be utterly hilarious for so many of us to watch. And that is something we should all relish in, is that while everything is falling apart, we live in extremely funny fucking times, and we should take advantage of that, point and laugh and mock every single one of these people and belittle them in the same way that they would do you when they told you what? That your family was inessential as they sat there and told you that you needed to sit there and be complacent with the fact that you were deemed what? Irrelevant in their eyes in the standards of civil society, because what we had to do was make sure that we were just trying to save one life. It doesn't matter if the standards we push forward ended up costing the lives of possibly millions, and what we did was effectively skyrocket things like suicide among children. We amped up the depression rate, and with it we had people's metabolics completely destroyed through the process of becoming even more obese. We told you to avoid the standards of what it meant to actually align yourself with proper health. Go ahead, don't worry, we're gonna lock down the gyms, but here's the thing, friend, we made sure to leave that bar open for you. And oh, don't you worry, in case you don't want to get this vaccine and you're not entirely sure about it because you just want to make a medical decision so you feel like you can do your own research to understand the nature of the decisions you want to make for yourself and your family, because you feel like it's the right thing to do, because there's no reason not to, because you're a human being, and with that, a thinking person that deserves to have that right, because like a free person and not a slave, this is how you operate. Well, don't you worry, friend. You can just go ahead and get that shot in case you don't want it. But don't you worry. We're going to make sure that we can inculcate you into this idea either through the process of propaganda Or what we will do is, you know, offer you something like a cheeseburger and a donut and say, here, don't you want this? As we see Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, slobbering down on just fries and burgers, just sitting there looking like a disgusting, filthy,
some of these mayors, I think it was last year, or talking about the whole red wave of like the Republican conservative governors taking over, which literally didn't happen. I don't know who predicted for that. That might have been the biggest fail I've seen in a while, where basically none of that ended up happening. The people that had conservative governors had them, not that many. And you see the new North Carolina governor, the black guy that just got reinstated. I don't know how that got. Last year, do you remember the Chicago governor? All those kids were like doing those mobs and attacking things. Basically, just what BLM was doing in 2020 after the George Floyd riots and shit like that. They asked him, "Are you gonna do anything about this?" And he was like, "You know, that's gonna express himself." What the fuck?
Yeah, Mayor Brandon Johnson. I've done a lot of reporting.
Garbage. What a terrible person. Wild.
Yeah,
literally on podium be like, "Hey, I'm not shit. I'm garbage. Can you vote for me?" People are like, "Yeah, why not?" You deserve to have your city that way. If that's how you think, for anyone who's out there that thinks that, if a person basically blatantly admits, "I'm a piece of shit, I'm garbage," why don't you take my vote? You can go fuck yourself. Your city needs to burn like mine does. It's California, and I hate Gavin Newsom. Now all of a sudden he wants to fix up California. Go fuck yourself. Oh my God, dude.
Oh, the San Francisco debacle was wild. Also, you know what this shows with the idea of the San Francisco debacle and the whole idea of like housing the migrants in New York?
Yeah.
I'm a libertarian, so I'm not in favor of my taxes being siphoned away to go pay for anything for anyone else, just because that's just my perspective. But the thing is, dude, I absolutely love taxes. I love signing off on the fact of just absolutely having my wealth raked away from me by the state. And if anyone ever needs proof of government inefficiency, look no further than capital allocation, and then go ahead, peer into that of San Francisco. Look at places like New York. Look at the homelessness crisis, the fentanyl crisis, the veteran suicide epidemic that's completely overrun and galvanized so many of these major cities. Look at the rural just rot that has hit places within that of Appalachia. And you tell me that we should be sending hundreds of billions of dollars to go fund places like that of Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, making sure that we can fund every single forever war imaginable because we have to support the standards of the world empire. And the one thing that, again, we bring this back to the idea of taking care of people at home. And then when you bring this up and you're like, "Hey, don't you think it's kind of wrong that you're using black people as a flag to wave?" And akin to that of, you know, Mayor Brandon Johnson, he's just like, "Oh, so you're a racist." It's like, well, I mean, the reporter that asked you that question, she's black and you're black. And he's like, "Oh, so you're a self-hating black person." It's like, whoa, what the fuck? And when I saw this, I was mind blown. I was like, there's no way there are people that like think like this. And then I remembered back to a column that I saw from the LA Times during the time of Gavin Newsom and his recall when Larry Elder was running against him. And they're like, "Larry Elder, the black face of white supremacy." And I damn near froze. I was like, there's no way this is real. Like, how can you actually, as a sentient human being, write this? But they're not sentient because their thoughts are not their own.
Something also happened last year. Last year was such eye-opening things to show people. Like, people are like, they don't have this much power. We don't know how much power they have. We do now. Gavin Newsom, who is the governor of California currently, he shouldn't be. Just throw that guy in the ocean with the fucking great white sharks. Let him have him. But, you know, it's in Minecraft, right? So, there was this Chinese diplomat guy that came to San Francisco last year, and he literally, within 48 hours, cleaned the whole city up.
Yep.
Okay. So if anyone doesn't know what I just said there, that means these guys have more power than you even realized. So that means they are legit letting things happen the way they are for I don't know what reason. Endorsement, anything, you know, favors later on down the road. If someone else needs a favor, money, sexual, I don't know. The fact that he can clean up one of the biggest cities in the world, crime-ridden cities in the world too, that fast. Because they can do it. He can just choose not to do it. It's not that they can't do it. I hate when people said they couldn't do it. As a person who doesn't even know what a fucking governor even does will tell you that they can't do it. What the fuck? That's why you vote for them, because you believe they can do it. That's the literal reason why we vote. But he literally sat there, cleaned it up, and I was like, wait a minute. So you couldn't I hate life, man. I hate so much. What are we even... Because at that point then, if people are siding with him, what are you even arguing? You're saying that he can't do it because he's incapable, he has no money? Because if he can clean up a big city like that for 48 hours, get the whole homelessness fixed up, that means these guys could fix all these problems. They're just letting these things happen because they just they complacent. They want it to happen that way. Their pockets are already lined up. They don't give a fuck what happens anymore. That's it. They can legitimately fix the issue. They just choose not to do it because, well, they look at, I mean, like, you know, the way we look at, like, poor people is pretty bad. Just imagine how much they look at us the same way they look at poor people. Probably pretty bad, actually. It's always the middle class getting fucked in everything. It's always that, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's purely intentional. And this goes back with, like, what I was saying. Just, like, the expansion of completely the forever wars and abandoning people at home. People always love to use this hilarious talking point. By hilarious, I mean it's utterly retarded. And they sit there and they say, oh, well, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. It's like, we are not walking nor chewing. In fact, we are face down in the dirt, $34 trillion in debt. We are 5 feet into this grave. And if we do not reverse this course, we are undoubtedly going to hit the 6 foot marker without question. Empires on the average timescale are roughly 250 years. And we are most certainly approaching exactly that. And the thing that is, what we see is nothing more than anarcho-tyranny in places like California, like you're talking about, with Governor Gavin Newsom sitting there and cleaning up the city, making sure that he can have the city be what? Beautiful for the president of China, Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist Party. Isn't that just something? And it really lets you know who these people serve. And it most certainly isn't you, as well as the fact that we see this mass cleansing of a place like San Francisco, getting rid of all of the needles, scuttling away the homeless to God knows where, because no one even actually understood where they ushered them off to. Even people within San Francisco still don't fully know what happened to them, but nonetheless, they receded and they've come back, and with it, much like the tides, they always return. So what we see is that, much like in California, well, when you go to places like New York and you see all of these different hotels that can no longer make money because of the fact that they're now housing migrants at the behest of the demands of the government, well, what does this show you? Oh, they could have solved that homelessness crisis long ago if they actually had any desire to do so. But rather than do that, what they would actually prefer is that those veterans that were willing to sacrifice themselves so they could bleed on the flag to make sure the stripes stay red, oh, well, we'll just leave them to be poor and destitute and with it, completely abandon them. And then when the VA actually comes for them to help them, we'll give them that therapist, but that therapist actually won't really be there for them. And then once they've unveiled all of these traumas, they've been down this line of breaking themselves down for this person, truly opening up, finally realizing that they can unveil the nature of their sorrows to someone that might actually give one credence to the nature of how truly broken they feel. And what happens? The VA scuttles them off to a new therapist. They're abandoned. And then they sit there and do what? Affect the suicide rate of what was the bravest people on the planet, which are those who are willing to sacrifice themselves in mass at the behest of your freedom, which I'm not even someone who's talking about the fact of the value of spreading democracy really saves freedom, but that doesn't change the fact that these are people who are willing to lay their lives on the line. And like I said, bleed on the flag to make sure the stripes stay red. They will sit there and cry over their friends' corpses, all because in their mind, they believe this is what is right and what is just, because they're protecting you and they care about these things. And what happens? People like that within the establishment will sit there and abandon them endlessly. They will allow them to be homeless, poor, and destitute in places like New York City, in places like San Francisco, all after the fact of them suffering through endless turmoil and being abandoned by the exact system that they went to war to go protect.
The other thing you mentioned there, the veterans that have a high suicide rate getting screwed, they can't even get benefits. Do you guys know why? They've been taking out of the Social Security benefits. You know, Social Security benefits you pay into with your paychecks every month, 2 weeks, where however social you get paid? Well, there's a reason why a lot of people can't get them anymore. It's part because they've been dipping it. Well, the thing, the cookie jar analogy, you know, hand of the cookie jar, they've been having their hands in the cookie jar a little too much. It's been revealed that a lot of Social Security people can't, a lot of older folks who can't get it anymore, it's because the money's, I'll say, not there anymore, but it's been massively depleted from what it was. Because, well, how do you guys think they're going to be paying off Ukraine or giving money to Ukraine or whatever war we're going to be supporting? Well, there is the Social Security benefits that these guys need. Well, I mean, we don't have any money. We're in debt. Well, if we can take out of this, right, we might be able to put it back. And that's probably they're not putting anything back. They're taking it. It's never coming away. It's never coming back, guys. But you know what's going to put into it consistently? You, the average worker world.
Yep, absolutely. And they will do so to the tune of your impoverishment happily. And this was something that was so revealing to me, was like the idea of how this truly affects people long term. And I was going to say, like, in the scale of how the long term really unfolds. But realistically, just the thing that's so fucking tragic about this is that endless spending that they do, siphoning money away from something like Social Security, all that money that these people have been putting into the pot, It's gone. In fact, it was gone before you even put it in, because they siphoned the value of your money away instantaneously without you having any ability to have recourse through things like taxation, and then even more nefariously through something like a subversive tax akin to inflation. Because what does that do? As you've talked about the middle class thinning, well, this inflation that we see, whether it be through the process of mass spending to go ahead and foot the bill for things like COVID stimulus, or it be through the process of making sure that we can fund the forever wars. The thing that's so sad about all of this is that every single time, all it comes down to is the further impoverishment of both the middle and lower class, the diminishment of these people's capacity to create strongholds for themselves within the economy, because the value of their labor is siphoned from them, both through the value of their dollar being destroyed and the value of the dollars that they have stored within their banks being depleted. The value of these assets, specifically when you actually invest in assets, skyrocketing, ever escalating that of the upper class, and with it, because inflation is lowering the value of the dollar, meaning more dollars are chasing these goods specifically. What this leads to is the fact that, yeah, these corporations that these lefties are talking about, the fact of, well, they're just doing corporate greed and they're just price gouging and they're raking in record high profits. Well, of course they're raking in record high profits. The dollar is worth less. There's more dollars chasing those goods. And if the dollar is worth less, then that means that $100 that you have in your bank account, well, if we've been diminished to the point of 70%, you now effectively only have $70. And we can see this consistently on the time scale since 1913, with the creation of the Federal Reserve being the thing that has completely decimated people's ability to achieve prosperity in the market solely through the fact of government exploitation of the value of your resources.
And the other thing to bring up, because it happened today, Nikki Haley, you know, dropped out of the presidential run.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like we didn't see that before. All right. So I'm just surprised it took this long. That's all I'm surprised
about.
I'm just like, bruh, why? Like, what was the point of all this? I just don't get it. Like, she clearly did not have any swing. He was clearly the person that people wanted. I feel like a lot of these guys that ran right now kind of just shot themselves in the foot. If they had ran, like, after he potentially wins this year, I think Vivek or DeSantis would make great presidents, actually. I don't think Ron's that bad of a guy. But right now, it's like, come on, man. Like, you know you had no swing right now to do that. Nikki Haley was never winning in any universe ever. That's just not...
No.
That's not happening. The fact that Chris Kaley, the fat fuck governor from New Hampshire, he was never winning.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, you even winning in any universe. The fact that Nikki Haley was almost getting more votes, crazy. But the fact that he was sitting here trying to bat for like trans people in the fucking desk. Oh God, what the hell? Holy crap. Oh Lord. I hate life.
Dude,
so
like,
much.
Like the interesting thing with like trans people in government, because like I've said, like I don't care if people are trans. Like it doesn't matter to me. Like it's literally irrelevant. I don't understand it. It confuses the ever loving fucking shit out of me, quite literally. And it is on the DSM-5 as a mental disorder. So let's go ahead and throw that out there. Everyone's like, oh my God, transphobia, fuck you. Anyways, so the thing that I find so utterly hilarious about all of this, when you look at like the nature of government and you want to understand how fundamentally unserious it is, we can tie this back to what I was talking about, the sacrifice of veterans, right? So with all that sacrifice comes the fact of slaving away for your position to truly rise the ranks within the military. And what do we see? Some random person decides that they want to switch their gender, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and again, like, I don't care. Make your decision. Do as you do. I think it's kind of fucked that you're doing this to your kids, and with it, you're completely effectively abandoning your family in the pursuit of doing so. Seems like a hollow pursuit if you're abandoning the one thing that's truly worth building, like a family. Just saying. But, and what do we see? It's complete disrespect to the people within the military that have sat there and slaved away their entire lives for this random person who just gets placed as a 4-star admiral because they're trans, because they're just a chick with a dick. It's like, dude. The level of disrespect is honestly unfathomable. Look, I get you want your performative flag to wave. Look at me, I'm a good person. Look at me, I'm Bud Light, and I put Dylan Mulvaney on a can. Watch me tank my fucking stock price into oblivion. Oh my gosh, look how performatively great I am. But man, you really got to think about the fact of what this implies. And I'm not a fan of the military, dude. Like, I don't like this stuff. I have nothing but respect for people that are willing to serve, because like I said, the fact that you're willing to put your life on the line for people, that's no small feat. And with it, I have nothing but respect and appreciation for that. And because of this fact, because of the respect and appreciation I've garnered for these people, I look at something like that and I'm like, the utter fucking disrespect that you would be willing to do something like this is honestly unfathomable. And again, like I said, okay, so be it. You want to go ahead and do something like this in the market? Fine. What will happen? Your stock price will hit the floor, as it should. not because of the fact that you wanted to go ahead and do something like performative in the sense of waving the flag of transgenderism and progressivism, but because people have a right to not buy your product. But here's the deal. Government has a monopoly on this system, and with it, they are the ones who demand you operate as they deem fit. So because of this fact, you have no ability to have recourse for something like this. Those soldiers who are sacrificed at the behest to the dunes of Afghanistan so they can sit there and go crawl through the mountains in that heat and with it effectively be nothing more than the defenders of a country that was turned over in 20 years from the Taliban to the Taliban. Well, we're going to abandon them in the pursuit of their idea of what it means to climb through hierarchical structure so we can go ahead and just give you this 4-star admiral position. It's fucking mind-blowing.
Just recently, I don't know if you've seen this, there was that one guy, it's an army guy, just doused himself in gasoline and burned himself alive. Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. He didn't want to go to like Ukraine or some shit, so he just went.
So I made a video about this, and so he's in the video, he's talking like, this got age restricted on my channel. It's both on Rumble and on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I post on YouTube and Rumble, Pope mm-hmm. News on Rumble and Poperoni on YouTube. But like the thing that I find so interesting about it is like, it's someone who's like an American airman, and it was over the Israel-Palestine conflict. And this guy was very clearly like an ardent leftist. And I'm personally not someone that actually cares about the left-right dichotomy. I think it's effectively at this point in time, it was once relevant, but now it's a psyop, pure and completely. What we're dealing with now is that of the y-axis, and that is the authoritarian versus freedom metric. And with it, do you support the idea of people being free, or do you support the idea of people being tyrannized by the state, by those that they deem to be nothing more than their noble betters? And with it, I would argue anyone who's realistically advocating for things like sending trillions of dollars abroad so that they can effectively spend billions, kill millions, and with it, cost nothing more than absolute turmoil throughout all of it. Well, these people aren't the noble arbiters of good as they claim to be.
Goodness gracious. Recently, there's been so much stuff going on, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, every day, it feels like something's popping off. You know, the attacks on Rumble recently, where they tried to, I don't know, send them lawsuits or whatever, file lawsuits to take them down and have those dismissed and all that stuff. It's like, why can't we have another platform? I just, because they want you under just one, like YouTube, Google, that system, right? Competition, they're gonna be like, wait a minute, another one trying to eat from my pie. It's like these guys have their own pie, and they only want that pie to be not eaten from anyone. That's theirs. That's it. You know? So yeah, Rumble is threatening to people. Yeah, because you have people that'll be like, but I don't know if it's gonna last and all stuff. That's a concern to have. I think average people have that. Like anything new starting, they're gonna be like, I don't know if it's gonna last that long. But you should want it to last. You should want another person there, because let's say if YouTube fucks you over and throws your channel off their platform, where are you gonna go? You know? Twitch is not that better. Twitch is trash. Streaming on Twitter is terrible. Reach there is bad. I mean, it's like people want to have something as an alternative, but then don't want to have it because then they're like, well, it's going to fail. It's like you shouldn't want it to fail, though, at all. Like, why would you inherently want a secondary option for it to fail so you cannot have anywhere else to go but here? It's like, what the heck? What the fuck's wrong with people? People are fucking cheap, dude.
Yeah, the thing that's so wild about that, especially in like the technological landscape, is you can think about the idea of monopoly creation specifically. And like monopolies, while it does have a negative connotation, it can also have a positive one. A good book reading on this would, I would say, Peter Thiel's 0-1. But the thing that's so interesting about this is like the idea of creating a monopoly market. And that's exactly what YouTube had for so long. And once you've established this dominance naturally, it's incredibly hard to move you from that podium if what you're providing is of increasing value and stability. But what we see is through things like, I don't know, the tech sphere being completely captured by the regulatory agencies and government, and with it them being nothing more than the lobbying arms of information, and with it effectively controlling how you're supposed to operate within the landscape of, let's say, disseminating information to you and keeping you within the zeitgeist that they deem you walk within, confined within the spectrum of allowable opinion, making sure you can't actually reach any ideas outside of it. And that's exactly what you see with things like the corporate press, the legacy media. They don't actually want you going to these different places to get information like independent news shows. They don't want you going to get independent cultural commentary from people like you, people like Nerd Roddick and so many others like Eric July. They don't want you going outside of the standards of what's already established in Marvel and DC to go buy comics from people like Eric July at the Ripaverse and stuff like that. They don't want you doing any of these things because they're comfortable in the system that they're already in. And not only that, because they're the ones who are bending the long arc of history to control how these things operate, they will fight to their death to defend it.
And that's the thing is, access to other people hearing how they feel alter your mind a little bit. You're going to start questioning things. Because at this point now, why would anybody trust mainstream news is beyond me? Like, have you seen those videos of that one guy who's in, like, I think New Orleans, who goes around, you know, he asks a little questions, set a little microphone, stuff like that. They go around and they'll ask, like, Biden or Trump. And they'll be like, Biden. And they'll be like, he'll be like, why? And they'll have, like, no answer. It's like, are people like that brain dead NPC'd? This is crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not even like a question in my mind.
Like, if you, I will go watch these videos and people will be like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's the average person. No, these are a lot of average people. I can tell you it's one person, two people, maybe. This is a lot of people that say they like this person and they can't even name one thing that person has done good. This is like 4 years we're talking about here. You can't even name one thing that you think this person has done in 4 years. You are legitimately brainwashed. You are fried. Fix your brain, please.
Yeah, it's the NPC programming meme. It's literally like the guy who's sitting there is like, I'm mad about certain thing. And then you see the chip get installed into the back of his head and it just says current thing. And then he switches the hat and it's a new man entirely. And it's like, it's unbelievable. But the thing is, I think the Matrix represents this perfectly. It's the idea that those who are still caught within the blue pill mindset and not like the red pill zeitgeist in the sense of like what's presented throughout like the manosphere shit and like how they fucking talk about it. Let's bring this back to the original. The OG, where it was first created, as it should be, the classic, the Matrix. But the thing that's so interesting is Morpheus talks about the fact that people who are still caught within the system, they will turn into an agent of it at a drop of a dime. And it is solely for the fact that you are challenging their preconditions. And what you do when you're doing so is effectively the best way I could refer to this would be that reality itself for all of us, no matter who we are, no matter how grounded we are in ourselves, it is very much that of a Fabergé egg. And with it, incredibly delicate and incredibly easy to fracture into oblivion. Because of this, when you're chipping away at people's reality and doing so increasingly fast and with incredibly increasing amounts of force, because they're just getting bombarded with information that's completely removed from the standards that they're so used to subjecting themselves to, or actually being subjected to by that of people, let's say, among high. Well, because of the fragmentation of their understanding of the nature of reality, they do not even operate on the standards of actual thought. And what they do is, much like a mouse trap is procced when a mouse hits the cheese, well, they hear a certain statement and their mind volleys a response. Thus, they don't actually have to go through the process of thinking about anything. All they have to do is let other people know that they did the right thing and told that person that, like Donald Trump, that he's Orange Hitler. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, just looking at the New York trial he had to appear in, and like the rules were like he can't say anything, and it's like, then why go to court then to defend yourself? Like, was that would literally be unethical for to go to court to defend whatever side you're on and not be able to speak? They're like, he legit. Why is he here then? If you already have the answer, then why are we doing this? It's just so stupid. And you have people say like, oh, black people don't like Trump. People, simple searches, hit enter. It's proven black people like Trump. Whatever they're telling you is a lie. It's just a lie. You could literally do it yourself. It's not even that hard. People have smartphones now. Just type up, do black people vote for Trump? Oh my God, he actually asked Paul. Wait a minute. This mainstream media news site said he was racist and no black people will like him. Huh. I should start questioning what the fuck I'm even hearing from these people. It's just that simple. But people are that lazy, they don't even do that. They just go, oh, I like this random black lady on CNN. She's a black woman, a strong, independent black woman. Don't need a man. It's like, what the fuck?
Favorite thing as of late is seeing Joy Reid lose her mind about Donald Trump and then levying all these like vicious attacks on his physicality and his structure as a man and all this stuff. And I'm like, you literally have his hair right now. For anyone that's not aware, just look up Joy Reid in the current day of like March of 2024. And oh my, you look at her and you're like, you're literally doing a terrible Trump impression. You have the terrible tan, like, because her makeup is so caked on when she goes on air that you can see it. And, like, Joy Reid's not, like, this heinous-looking person. Like, I don't think she's pretty, but she's not just this utter cinder block to stare at. But, my God, does MSNBC certainly make her look like one, and so does her stylist. It's like, you're sitting here criticizing and lambasting someone like Donald Trump endlessly. And with it, like you said, it's usually never about actual policy because God forbid we could actually do anything like that, which again, I have a myriad of issues with Donald Trump. I could talk about that endlessly. But also, the fact is that the value that someone like Donald Trump brings to the political landscape is uncomparable to anyone that's walked within it within the past 15, 20 years outside of Ron Paul. And why is that? It's because Donald Trump at the South Carolina Republican presidential debate in 2015, he looked Jeb Bush straight in his eyes and said, "What? Your brother lied us into war in Iraq. He killed 1 million people. It was a mistake. It was a big, fat mistake." And that alone gave permission to the entirety of the Republican base to question the wars. Because before that, it was, if you don't support the troops, then you're a bad guy. And if you're not supporting the troops, then you're with the terrorists. So the one thing that so many people that go ahead and look at the media landscape, these anti-war leftists that have been completely turned against, let's say, well, talking about things that are anti-war because now the Democratic Party wants to go ahead and espouse the standards of nothing more than endless war, as much of the Republicans consistently have done for so long. Well, the thing is, so many of them, like I've stated, are not thinking people. And then with this fact of so many of these people seeing someone like Donald Trump come out and give the ability for all of these right-wingers to criticize these wars, what it did was open up the can of worms for the establishment to immediately turn the heel and do what? Focus all of these tumultuous things that have been created and thrust upon the American people and the world, like that of the intelligence apparatus, the spying agencies, the NSA, and all of these foreign policies that have been, let's say, used to effectively establish and implement nothing more than intelligence operations in multiple different countries abroad. Well, it turns out that much of this stuff was turned inward, and Donald Trump giving permission to the American right to go ahead and criticize these things openly was nothing more than one of the greatest things that's happened in American politics in God knows how long. And because of this fact alone, we see the landscape shifting, and with it, no matter how many issues I have with Donald Trump, which, as I've said, there are many, and I could talk about that endlessly and have no problem with it. I don't have emotional reactions. It's strictly bound on policy and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's just one of the most valuable things anyone can ever bring forward, and I don't know how else to put it.
Like, he could literally have done nothing in a day. Just I don't know what he's taking a shower, watching grandkids. I don't know what he fucking does. Media goes, "Hey, did you see Trump? He was walking outside down the street." What? It's literally, not just deranged syndrome. These people are obsessed with stuff that is not there. They're legit seeing ghosts.
Oh, absolutely. They're seeing ghosts where none exist, and not only that, this is the best part about it, is they love to bring out the term dog whistle. Oh my gosh, it's a dog whistle. Can you believe how terrible this is? The fact that they would sit there and do these right-wing dog whistles. It's like, I don't know if they know anything about how these work, but it's always the dog that hears the whistle, and you seem to be barking quite loud. So maybe you should go ahead and think about that. Just a thought.
The other thing to bring up is, like, when people mentioned, oh, good Lord, the whole mugshot thing, and seeing all the and all of those people it. That where Joe Biden came into that one area, he was booed. Trump came into the area, he was like cheered on. It just goes to show you that whatever like social media showing you guys, depending on where you are at, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, always two sides to every story. They're showing you some fuck shit. Okay. Like yeah. On social media, you would see like, oh my gosh, people are just bashing this guy. This guy legit must be Hitler by what these guys are saying. No, other people definitely don't think that. You go and talk to people in real life, definitely have a different tune than what is shown here, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And this is a perfect example of the fact that social media is not real life. While it may be the current social square, and with it, it is now the public square. In fact, what you have to realize is the public square, that place where everyone went to the town to commune with each other. Well, here's what's so interesting about that is you actually had ramifications for the nature of how you operated as an individual, because the merit of the quality of your character was built upon the value of your word. And that is not something you have to worry about with the nature of the internet, because people can just consistently go out there and do nothing more than release endless propaganda. You can literally go out there and just tell a lie for the sake of it being a lie because you feel like being a troll. Let's say you're an agent of chaos and you want to have some fun. I condone this. But the thing that's so funny about this specifically is that there will be just one person that has confirmation bias and seeing something that you've said that ticks a box in their mind, and they're running it with it to the hills. It doesn't matter if the fact is that it has no relevance. They saw that inch and they're gladly going to take the mile.
And like, just with the very last few things we'll bring up, because I know you don't have too much time. The last thing is stuff with, you know, Air July, Nerdrotic, people like them, yeah, where
love them.
The way that people talk about them, the way I heard versus when I actually watched the videos, so different, you know? I subscribed to Eric because of the whole, when Ariel first got casted, Nikki Haley got casted to be Little Mermaid. That's when I first saw his videos, and I was like, okay, I'll subscribe to this guy. Nerdrotic, I think I subscribed to him a few years back, and it was just like, what are people saying? Like, it's, and that's what I was asking people, is are these people like, it's anyone, is anyone not allowed to be like, I don't like this and I think it's bad? Are we not allowed to say that? We're just only just supposed to be like, yeah, consume, next product, blah, 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 it, suck it up, choke on the cocks of these people, just get on our knees and fucking open our buttholes and let them fist us repeatedly. It's like, wait, is any person not allowed to go, I don't like this, I think this is bad? Because apparently that seems to be what the problem is. So like Eric July's been a guy that's read comic books. People are like, he attacked Marvel and DC. Are we not supposed to say we don't like stuff? Are we supposed to, what is life coming to? Is that why you're mad? Because someone attacked Marvel and DC? Like, go outside. You need to get laid. You need to actually go outside and get laid, or throw yourself off a fucking stair in Minecraft, actually, you know?
Don't worry, I'm a parachute. So, yeah, don't worry. We condone hang gliding. So the thing that's so wild about this, yeah, dude, I saw, like, the sickest, like, it's on my mind. Just it was, like, legitimately the coolest thing. Dude dives off the skyscraper that he landed on unintentionally. Sick. Anyways, side note. The thing that I find so hilarious about this whole thing with, like, the Eric July reaction, the backlash to someone like Nerdrotic, Critical Drinker, just, well, Mahler, EFAP, all of these different people with like Rags and Fringy, Metal Commander, like so many phenomenal content creators that I truly could not recommend enough. I don't even go and watch movies anymore, really. I'll sit there and I'll gladly watch the YouTubers that I enjoy because I know I'm going to enjoy them as a person, their commentary. If the movie's well worth my time, I'll know. And the thing is, that is what has happened with so many people. They see people like that of Nerdrotic, they see Eric July, and they hear all these ridiculous rumblings in the backgrounds of how horrible these people are. And they're just so terrible. The same way that so many were talking about what an awful person someone like Tucker Carlson or Rogan is, right? Talking about like how he's a racist or whatever. And then people are like, oh my God, I need to listen to this. This is one of the most popular people on the planet. And they're like, where's the racism? What the fuck, man? I joined because I'm a racist. Why is this person not? And it's like, yeah, you didn't get what you wanted, you piece of shit. Because there are so many people that go into something like that with confirmation bias. They're like, oh my God, this person might actually, you know, be someone who could share and espouse my ideals. This person's apparently a racist. And the thing I find specifically so funny about that is because, like, I remember seeing, like, a bunch of the white nationalists online losing their mind when people were calling Rogan a white nationalist. And they're like, we don't claim him. And I'm like, this, like, these are the people you're dealing with. The ones that actually have racial animosity and hatred towards other people, people that don't like Jews, people that don't like black people, they'll actually gladly tell you this specifically. And those are the exact type of people that will also go out of their way to sit there and do nothing more than lie about someone like Eric July, whether it be the fact of they disagree with his politics or they're like, I don't like black men successful in comics. It's like,
yeah, that's what I've also, told people too. Like, if these guys didn't like black people, like, they were, if they were legitimately racist, are people that dense? They wouldn't tell you that. You would legitimately have to know that through their actions. No one's, I hope no one's a stupid. No one's gonna be out there going, I legitimately hate black people. I'm not joking. I hate those people. I legit hate black people.
Morons.
Like, no one would ever do that, right? So you would have to do it through your actions. And like, I'll say, I don't think people genuinely hate him because of his skin color. I think it's for other things. Right?
I don't think so either. I think it's, and many of the times it's these leftists that are sitting here pushing these performative standards about the value of making sure we talk about the plight of the minority, which again, minority people really do struggle with a lot of shit. I was lucky enough to have like a really good upbringing. And one thing that pissed me off is seeing people be like, oh my God, I had it so hard. It's like, dog, I went to fucking high school with you. You had it better than I did, and I had it good. What the fuck are you complaining about? And it's always these people that live these performative lives built on nothing more than privilege, and many of the times standards that, again, weren't their own but given to them from among high. And because of this fact, because they've never actually done anything, it leaves them so open to endlessly criticize other people. And with that endless criticism comes the opportunity for them to find a niche of people that end up reimbursing these ideas. And this comes back with the positive feedback loop that I talked about before, because let's say you're interjecting negativity and with it, you're still receiving a lot of hateful feedback. But when your back's pinned against the wall and someone comes up and puts their hand on your shoulder and tells you, no, don't worry, I'm by your side, all that does is reinforce them. And they're like, oh, well, actually, no, I'm right. It doesn't matter if you could prove them wrong in every single avenue and facet. Doesn't matter if you could sit there and be like, yeah, well, actually, you know, Gary from Nerdrotic's realistically not that bad of a dude. In fact, he's just someone who ends up like, you know, liking movies and covering all this different kind of content surrounding culture. They're gonna be like, well, did you know he's a racist and he was in jail, and with that he has tattoos, so he's a white supremacist? It's like, dude, are you smoking more fucking rocks than Hunter Biden? Like, are you kidding?
How do people go to those conclusions? It's like, hey, you know he does all these things. And I'm like, no, I don't really look at the personal lives of people that I watch on YouTube.
Not my business. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Oh, no, this content creator I can't hear the voice of is, or I hear the voice of and can never see is trans. This content creator I watch is who fucking cares? I don't give a shit. Are they pushing things like sexual predation onto children? Oh, no? Okay, then. I don't need to worry about them. What I need to worry about are the people that are promoting things like this. Like, I don't know, Senator Karen Berg that recently came out talking about things like we need to, I don't know, give people who prey on children dolls that look like children so they can avoid their urges, effectively telling them just to sink into them. And when I hear something like this, I'm like, dude, check this person's computer. Tell me about the Epstein flight log. I don't care about the fact that you think some fucking YouTuber is racist. You're boring. Like, we have actual things happening in the real world, and you're like, by the way, YouTuber I don't like because they said thing that not make me laugh is bad. That means they're bad, man, and that means Orange Hitler. It's like, where did Trump come into play with this? And they're like, ah, that's it. Right.
The other thing that always throws my brain off is like, they're like, these guys' opinions don't matter, and if you blah, 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 X thing, you'll destroy them. All right, so if their opinions don't matter, first of all, why? If they don't matter, okay, why are you mentioning them?
Why are you worried?
Like you had with the Marvels, I don't know if you saw it, like all these like girls from like Screen Geeks, right? Not Screen Geeks, Screen Rant, like all these media also breaking, like men are doing this. Like, fucking hell. I hate people like that. Say who you're talking about. Stop being a bitch. I hate that when people do that. It's like, bro, say who the fuck you're talking about. Stop speaking generalities. They're like, men are doing this. We know who you're talking about. That's code speak, like you mentioned earlier. And then they'll be like, they're really dragging this movie through the ground, ruining it. But I know you guys said on social media these guys don't matter. So what is it? Either they do matter or they don't matter. You can't just have it like for one movie they don't matter, for one movie they don't. Like, what does that even mean? What are we even doing here? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, you crack smokers?
Yeah, and what they'll also do is they'll like make a movie like The Marvels, you know, to a predominantly male audience akin to the superhero genre, you know, something that is predominantly male, which is, again, who cares? So be it. If you want to make something that's going to appeal to the female audience, what you and like also have broader appeal, what you could do is, I don't know. Imagine an idea around something intrinsic and fundamental to something that is correlated to so many little girls in their development and youth and their growing up. Oh, Barbie! How about we do something like that? No, what we need to do is focus on these superhero movies and make sure that we're making all of the women on screen, the strongest and most badass and capable versions of themselves, because we have to let women know that there's no problem and there's no issues and they could never fail. And what this does is, and I've seen this happen in like children that I know and like that I've like effectively attached to because they're my family and I love them. I've seen it shift their mindset. And granted, I've seen them bounce back from this entirely, but the current cultural inculcation of how people are taught that it's not your fault that you're flawed, it's the world. Well, all this does is make you nothing more than a perpetual victim. And because of this fact, it leads you to being one of these people that will do what? Go after someone like Eric July, Nerdrotic, the EFAP crew, all of these other different people, even just the most random inane person who's an anonymous account online, who's operating on three different pseudonyms and with it, they just don't want to be doxxed. That person, for some reason, wields power over you all because of the fact that they said a word you don't like and you're a perpetual victim. And that's a problem. Like, it's a dangerous problem when it comes to the fact of thinking about the stability of people's mental health in the long term for the health of society. Because, like I talked about, like, from Breitbart, culture being downstream from politics or politics being downstream from culture realistically. Yeah. But in my mind, it's all just a cycle. And with it, we have ebbs and flows depending on what influences what. And because of the fact of where we are based on what is influencing what, well, right now, it's very much politics that's influencing culture rather than every single bit of it, let's say culture being the one main aspect and with it, the reason conservatives always lose because they have no consistency to attach to culture, which we've seen this. Eric July talks about this a lot, so does Nerdrotic. Because a lot of the times they're so rigid and caught up in their ways that it's hard for them to actually break outside of what? And I've mentioned this numerous times, but the spectrum of allowable opinion, because there's so many different variants of that specifically. And when you have people that are stuck within it, it doesn't matter in what landscape, whether it be media, politics, it genuinely is irrelevant. Racial bias and animosity. It's so hard to get someone removed from their entrenched position, especially after once they've laid in it. And then in doing so, all you've done is beat them down maliciously for taking that position. Because then what they have is sunk cost fallacy. Look at all these bruises I have on me. Clearly I'm just in my actions. Otherwise I wouldn't be taking flak. And it's just the old school mindset of if you're flying over the target and you're going to be taking shots, that's very much how so many of these people feel when it comes to tackling these YouTubers that are just the worst and most horrible scourges on the planet of the earth. It's like, dude, that's just not a fulfilled person willing to take the time to do this.
Meanwhile, like, people say they don't matter. None of their opinions mean anything. Their events always sell out. I'm going to the FNT meetup in Vegas because I've
really oh that's sick.
Yeah, I live an hour away from Vegas, so I could just go. I'm gonna go up there on my vacation, and it's crazy. I was looking at the MegaCon videos all of them put out. So I don't know how anyone could even justify this in their brain that hates them. So you say they don't matter. They have no fans. Why are their events always selling out? Actually, currently, right now, he mentioned it on the video. I know Neurotic did. You know how you have to RSVP to get like the special spots. What they're gonna do? All sold out. They did a second one
instantly.
Sold out. But, yeah. So I don't know what people are seeing. Probably seeing fucking ghosts. Their events sell out. They have, like, you know, back in the day when I was younger, I would love to be part of a Comic-Con panel where you talk to people and stuff like that. It's always something that I thought was cool. They can do that because they have a big audience for that.
Yeah, they actually draw people in. And this goes with something like I said earlier, and this is so important. We live in the cultural shift of a currency change. What used to be the currency of old was perfect, pristine production. It had to look everything completely perfect. There had to be no issues. And with that, it gave you this veil of superiority over the standards of what was presented amongst everyone else because you had the image. And what people have come to realize is the image is nothing more than a facade. And with it, because of that fact, we're in a cultural shift that is shifting the currency of the current day to be nothing more than authenticity. And if that's the case, then people like Eric July, Neurotic, and so many others that are doing this purely based on passion, on the standards that these are things they love, value, and hold in high regard, well, they're going to succeed no matter what. And you won't be able to stop them having rocket fuel added to their fire that will only bolster their success because they actually care about these things and they're authentic. And when they talk about it, it comes out in a way that many people within that of, let's just say, places like Screen Rant, when they talk about movies and they just sit there and endlessly lambast the fact of, well, this movie didn't have the right standards and it didn't push the right politics. And I don't like the person that's in this film because they said this one thing 10 years ago, even though they changed their mind on it. It's like, you don't have relevance and you don't actually care about these things. Your passion is null and void. And with this fact, it is ever apparent to anyone who has any bit of a mind to pay attention to this and actually cares about this stuff. It's why people are willing to listen to an hour-long show when someone sits there and they're like, all right, that Game of Thrones episode was good. Now it's time to do a breakdown. And they literally just sit there and talk to someone for an hour and a half about an episode of Game of Thrones, something that the media would sit there and never do. Yeah, they'll write their small little piece about the thing that happened in this article, but people are willing to spend that time to listen to someone have these long, drawn-out conversations just over an episode, over lines of dialogue. I've watched all of the different episodes from Neurotic and Critical Drinker on their Lord of the Rings videos where they're bringing all of these different people together, and I must admit, it's truly like some of my favorites. I'm waiting to start up Return of the King again. I just watched Fellowship and Two Towers the other day, and I'm just sitting there every single time I enjoy their content. I realize why I'm enjoying it. It's because of the fact that these are just people who are actual human beings, not putting on a facade, which is exactly why they're able to sell out these rooms.
And people like to see not just authenticity. They like to see stuff reflected in their real life. When you go on the internet, it's cool to see what's happening in your real life reflected in people that you like. You know, just getting the boys together and just talking. You know, yeah, well, people over time with their shows get the structure thing figured out. But it's just nice to see that there's people that think like me in a similar reign of liking this kind of content that we watch, have conversations. And it just makes you inspired to be like, how about I do my own thing like that? It sounds kind of cool. You know, it's fun.
That's
to see
where
that.
I'm at.
Yeah,
exactly where I'm at. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Let's ask you a few more things before we head out, which is no, I shall say that for I'll say that one for the next time you're on. Next, we have a second appearance. Also,
sounds good, man.
What was the are you the recent video Neurotic did last year? It's the whole Taco About It thing. And all these people say they love Mexican people come out. So cringe. They're like, he's being racist. It's a fucking thumbnail. What are people? I've realized this dude with people like them. They only look at the thumbnails. They've never watched the actual video itself. You ask them, what did this person directly say was racist? They'll never tell you. Because they never watched the video, people. They just looked at the thumbnail. All that comments get drawn recently when it came to Eric about the whole like crowdfunding thing. He never insulted crowdfunding. People were like, I saw his thumbnail. What? You didn't hear what he said in the video. It just was, I saw a thumbnail. The thumbnail's insulting. Please, please. My brain, yes. It can't take it anymore.
So okay. I think this is what it is. I think it comes down to the fact that for them, what they do to signal the value of their nobility is they wave the performative flag of their greatness. And because of this fact, they look at the thumbnail and that's all they need, because all they're used to seeing are the hollow platitudes of presentation rather than that of the in-depth delivery of what it means when you actually dive into the machinations of what makes, let's say, the ruminations behind the depths of someone's thoughts. Because it's really important when you actually get down to the minutia of how people think, why they think what they think, how they approach certain things the way that they do. And it's perfectly understandable, you know, when you actually like take the time and listen to them. But if all you do is sit there and have nothing more than a reaction, because all you do is have something, let's say, nothing more than emotional presentation based on the fact that you simply despise this person. And with that, many of the times, the reason you despise people like that, especially on YouTube, it's like ridiculous that people hate YouTubers. It's like, who cares? Just like, don't subscribe to them. Don't
watch. Yeah, that's the thing. It's what their audience would do. What their audience would do was like, some of them, I don't know where people think this is completely untrue and a myth, that everyone who's on there agrees with each other. There are people that will vehemently disagree with each other. No one, like, on there, you have people that will agree, but you'll have to maybe disagree on the little small things where it comes to get to their conclusions. That's how they, that's what I've seen. I don't know what anybody else is seeing, because the people just seeing what they want to see. They ain't seeing what's actually on the screen. But you have people that will constantly say that, which is so untrue. It's like, all these guys do is just agree with each other. It's just literally not true. It's actually, you just make that shit up. That's not happening. Like,
yeah,
it's wild. I don't get it. It blows my brain. It's like, yeah, there's 10 guys that sit in a fucking podcast every week, and they agree on every little thing. Every little thing. Food, movies, television, how you move furniture, you go to everything, right? Because that's what really happens, right? No, anyone who thinks that is retarded beyond mega belief. You must be on Hunter Biden's laptop if you think that people sit at a show and just agree on everything. It's ridiculous. It's just
that's literally the view. That is the view, like to a T. Like it's you. It's a bunch of, and this is the way Michael Malice put it. I'm glad I just like brought this back, and you said that just like it reminded me of something that he said earlier when you were talking about like all of these like upper middle class white women. So the way Michael Malice is an anarchist, he's a writer. He wrote a phenomenal book called The White Pill about like the history of the Soviet Union and why the fact is that in the end, no matter the turmoil, the good people of this world will win. And even if we don't, it is more than worthy for us to fight for a just and noble end for society. Because if we don't, who will? And that is something that I think all people need to take into an understanding. But the way Michael Malice describes this with people like that of The View, well, he calls them offals, American white female liberals. And when I heard that, I was like, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, are you kidding me? By the way, Michael Malice on Twitter, one of the greatest Twitter trolls. I cannot recommend him enough. He is absolutely hilarious. Anyways.
The other thing I'll ask you is, you got any big plans for your YouTube channel coming up very soon?
Or are you like what you're doing right moderately. Now? Moderately. So consistently uploads every single day, both on YouTube and Rumble. Poperoni News on YouTube, Pope News on Rumble. And the thing is, I'm actually working on some audiobooks right now. I'm going to be working on one for Anatomy of the State by Murray and Rothbard, which I'm roughly halfway through. I want to be able to release it for like 500 subscribers because I'm at like 400 something right now, like 460 or whatever. And I'm also going to be working on something for the Federalist Papers, number 46, which is effectively addressing the nature of what's going on with the current crisis of the immigration issue and the fact of how the federal government has no right to step in to circumnavigate the right of states. And these are just things that I think it's important for people to see and listen to. And I wanted to go ahead and add visual aids to them. And it wasn't something I had ever really planned on doing with the channel. But once I thought about it, a book like Anatomy of the State is really important to me. It was very fundamental in creating all of the ideals that I hold truly dear when it comes to the nature of assessing the problems with government, because I see it as nothing more than a parasitic entity on the back of civil society. And the thing is, just to be able to put that in front of one more person so they could possibly hear those ideas, and maybe it affects them as in the slightest fashion, 10% as much as it affects me. That's enough. Mm-hmm.
And any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular? Anything else you want to say before we head out?
No, that's it, man. Just thank you so much for having me on. This has been an absolute blast. I'd love to come back on. Like you were saying, this is truly a great time. I can clearly tell when I was like watching your boy stream and all you were on, I was like, oh, these are my type of people. They're just shooting the shit, having fun, enjoying themselves, talking about a wide array of different topics. And with that, a wide array of different opinions, which is what we want.
Well, you saw the show last night.
I don't care if someone disagrees with me. Boo-hoo! Sick! Do they add value to my life? Perfect. That's all I want.
Last night, me and Nick disagreed on things that Thor was doing in Infinity War. Like, look, stuff, nerd shit, you know?
Yeah! What drove this, man?
Yeah, Nick's gonna be on today for another thing I'm having him and his friend Jared on. It's like, that's how things are. And people are like, well, man, back in the day, it would be like, man, why are you guys arguing with each other? It's like, first, we're not arguing, we're having a conversation. Argument is me, like, yelling at you. That would be, like, an argument. When people, someone disagrees, I'm like, hey, no, like, I think this, you think that, that's cool. You just kind of, move on. That's just how it is.
That war between nerds for ages, where we would actually argue about shit, like, the most ridiculous stuff, like Superman versus Goku, and, like, actually just fucking arguing about it, that was what drove so many of the creation of these YouTube channels. Ideas like that. The formative rumblings in the back of the mind where people are like, you know what? No, I'm going to make a video about this and I'm going to talk about it because I'm fucking right. And it's just some random little inane thing. Yeah. Like I said, Goku is stronger than Superman or something like that. It's like, would Saitama one punch Goku? Just the most ridiculous stuff, but stuff that people will gladly sink dozens of hours into thinking and talking about because it's stuff they love. And with this also comes with what we talked about with just people in general being what's important to focus on. You can't just sit there and look at the thumbnail and be like, oh, well, I don't like this person because of the way that they worded this thing in this thumbnail. It's like you're losing the intrinsic value of everything this person has the capacity to offer you in doing so. And not only is it a disservice to them, but it's a disservice to you.
I'll make sure to follow you on Twitter.
Sounds good, man. I think it did.
Yeah. And thank you guys for watching this episode. And we'll see you guys later on today. Goodbye, everyone.